The title for my message is Up to Jerusalem. And the first verse I want to look at is Matthew chapter 20, starting in verse 17, if you want to follow along. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 17. Now Yeshua, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify, and the third day he will rise again." Now, let's quickly turn to Luke 18. We'll see the same scripture described by a different writer. Luke 18, verses 31 through 33. And it says, "Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, 'Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again.'" So that's the New Testament, Jesus prophesying what was going to happen to him shortly. Now let's look to the Old Testament, all the way back in Genesis chapter 22. Starting in the very first verse, it says, "Now it came to pass that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham?' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Now take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him." Verse 4, "Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. So Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.' So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, 'My father,' and he said, 'Here I am, my son.' Then he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.' So the two of them went together." Now, as we know, God did provide the Jesus himself to be the Passover lamb, the precious sacrifice for once and for all our sins could be forgiven. But way back, 3,500 years before that, or thousands of years before that anyway, he asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son, to see if faith existed in mankind for what he was planning to do for men all along. So they came to the place, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' So he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God.'" That means you hold him in reverence and awe, that you're willing to do anything that God tells you out of faith. It's not the kind of fear that you think of when you're afraid of the dark or of spiders or snakes. It's the reverent awe of the Lord, the holy God, the Creator. Anything he tells Abraham to do, he's willing to do it. Even slay his only son, the son of promise, the son he waited all his life for, he was willing to do. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the Lord will provide as Yahweh Yireh, God our provider. Yes. Now I want to look a little at this, some of the things in this passages that I just read. In verse 2, where it says, "Take your son, your only son." In Hebrew, that word is Yachid, Y-A-C-H-I-D, Yachid. An only one, an only child, a precious life. It comes from the verse yakad, to be one, which is a verb. Now, yakid describes Isaac as Abraham's unique miracle son from whom all the nations of the earth were going to come, from his seed, that child of promise, not from any of his other children born to any other people. And if we look at Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, we'll see another usage of Yachid. Zechariah 12:10, another prophecy concerning Yeshua the Messiah. "And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son," his Yachid, "and grieve for him as one grieves for his firstborn." And of course, we all know in John 3:16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And again, his only son in that verse is Yachid. The same word, the same only son description that he asked Abraham to take his only son, his Yachid, his precious one, and sacrifice him. That's what the Lord planned to do all along for us. And he did it. Now, also in that same verse, it says, "Go to the land of Moriah." The land of Moriah is what came to be called Mount Zion, what came to be called the Temple Mount, what came to be called parts of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a city, a walled city that was like a fortress built up in the highlands. From Tel Aviv or from the other side, from the Jordan Valley, you have to go up into the hills to get to Jerusalem. And there's a in 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1, it says that Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. So we have every reason from Scripture to believe that Mount Moriah, or the land of Moriah, or the mountain that God showed Abraham to take Isaac and sacrifice him, was the same place where Solomon built his first temple. Now, another one of the hills in the hills of Moriah was called Golgotha, the skull mountain, the place of the skull. And in the New Testament, we see that that's where they took Yeshua to crucify him. So God chose the same sacrificial act and even the same location to test Abraham and to give the world redemption and salvation through Yeshua and his sacrifice. Now in verse 4 of Genesis 22, it says, "On the third day Abraham saw the place." And we know from Matthew that on the third day, Yeshua was resurrected. He conquered death and the grave. He conquered sin. He conquered Satan and the forces of evil, so that we can live lives free with a promise of eternal life. There's lots of third-day scriptures in the Bible. But this one, and the one we started with, where Jesus said, we're going up to Jerusalem, and on the third day I'm going to rise again. Let's go back to Luke chapter 18 again. Or actually, I'll go to chapter 23, verse 33. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, or Golgotha, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left hand. That another rendition of that verse is in Matthew 19, or Matthew 20, verse 19. I'm sorry, got that wrong. It's John 19, 17 and 18. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. And there they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. So the theme of today's message is up to Jerusalem. And all the things we've looked at so far were kind of to lay the groundwork for what I really want to say today. And in all aspects of his ministry, Yeshua, Jesus, and in every facet of our lives as saints, as believers in Yeshua as Messiah, he himself, Jesus, is our perfect role model. And in John 6:38, it says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him, the Father, who sent me." So our goal as believers and followers of Yeshua is to do the will of God, not to do great things for God, not to win the lost, although he may ask us to do that, not to bring revival or be a great prayer warrior for God or a great intercessor, or a prophet. No, our goal is to do the will of our Lord. That's the only thing we're called to do. It says in Romans 1 and in 1 Corinthians 1 that we're called to be saints. And yesterday, Rabbi talked about Rabbi Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. And he had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he said, "I was called to be a minister and a witness." So we're called to be saints, a people set apart for God. And our goal as followers of Yeshua is to do God's will. In Yeshua's life, Jerusalem was the place where he reached the culmination of his Father's will upon the cross. He said in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Oh, that you could take this cup from me, Lord, but not my will, but yours be done." He knew what they were going to do to him. You've all seen the Passion of the Christ movie. Who would have the courage, you know, to walk that path? So Yeshua, though, even knowing that he was on his way to Jerusalem for that call, he never dallied on his way. He didn't stay in villages where they were particularly blessing him or linger. And he didn't hurry through places where they criticized or cursed him. He went about his business, always knowing what was ahead. And so are we called to do. You know, we're not supposed to linger in the sweetness of revival all the time and praise the Lord, although that's wonderful. And we're not supposed to wallow in defeat and let criticism beat us down or let people who don't believe and who want to tell us that we're off the wall and we're too religious and all this stuff, you know, deter us from our own call and the will of God in our own life. But we have to stay the course. We have to walk the path that God chooses for us. And we have to go straight ahead, and eventually we'll have to go up to our own Jerusalem, just as Yeshua did. Now, whether there's gratitude and blessing or ingratitude and cursing, nothing could deter Jesus from going up to Jerusalem, and we can't let anything deter us. In Matthew 10:24, it says a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. In other words, the same thing that happened to Yeshua will happen to us on our way to our own Jerusalem. There will be works of God exhibited through us. There will be people who will get blessed by your ministry. And some of them will even show gratitude. But, you know, there's going to be people who will be offended by your testimony. And there's going to be people who even hate us. But nothing must divert us from going up to our own Jerusalem, just like Yeshua did. Now in Luke 27:33, it says, "There they crucified him." That is what happened to our Lord when he reached Jerusalem. And that event was God's master plan, the doorway to our salvation. If you look at Isaiah 53, let's turn there. Isaiah 53, verse 10. It says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Then skipping to verse 12, "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." In our natural life, our goals and ambitions may change as we grow. But for the life of a born-again follower of Yeshua, the goal is given at the very beginning, and the beginning and the end are exactly the same. To do the will of God, to obey the Lord, to make of your life an image of Yeshua's life. And we don't do it on our own. He comes in and lives inside of us by his Holy Spirit, and he does it for us. Because by human effort, we couldn't do it. The whole life that we lead as a follower of Jesus, Yeshua, is a supernatural life. It's by the grace of God and the power of God that we are able to walk this walk. It's not by our own effort. And let's look at Romans 6, starting in verse 3. Because we know that it pleased God for Yeshua to die and then to be raised again. It was part of his plan. But how does that impact us? In Romans 6, starting in verse 3, it says, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Messiah Yeshua were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Messiah was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, surely we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Messiah, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Messiah, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him or over us, because as he is, so are we in this world. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Messiah Yeshua our Lord." Verse 13, "Do not present or do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present or yield yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. Thank you, Lord." And then in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the will of God and the mission of a believer is the same in the very beginning all the way through to the very end. It's to focus on Yeshua, to be like him, to be in intimate relationship with him. And it says that it's Messiah in us that is our hope of glory. And in Ephesians 4:13, it says, till we all come to the measure of the stature and the fullness of Messiah. That's our spiritual destiny. So when Yeshua went up to Jerusalem, they crucified him. But it was a sovereign will of God, a holy plan from the very beginning that enabled us to be back in right relationship with God, to come into the Holy of Holies as high priests, a nation set apart, a people consecrated and holy for God. Something we can't do on our own, but that by Yeshua's atoning sacrifice, he was willing to do for us. And because our temple was made clean, as Brother Larry said last night, we then could receive the Holy Spirit who can work in us and bring us to each of these steps along the way to our own personal Jerusalem. Now, when Jesus went up to Jerusalem, they crucified him. But that is not the end that's in store for us when we go up to our own Jerusalem. By the grace and power of God, our journey ends instead in glory. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, let's look there. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And in Colossians 3:4, when Messiah, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now in Colossians 4 and verse 17, it says, take heed to the ministry which you have received from the Lord, that you may fulfill it. And up further in verse 12, the part B, it says that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now, those verses aren't together in Scripture, but the Holy Spirit told me to put them together in my mind and to tell it to people. Take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you might fulfill it, that you may stand holy and complete in all the will of God. They're in separate places, but they're one thought when you read them that way. And the will of God is for us to go up to our own Jerusalem and meet with him in glory at the end. That's the will of God for us. So please, I'm urging you, stay focused. Don't be deterred by circumstances. Don't be deterred by even your own family or loved ones who, as my family has done, have tried to knock me off course and dissuade me from walking the path that God has called me to. Don't let that happen. In all things, keep your eyes focused on him. As Paul said, I run the race that I may receive the prize, the upward call of Messiah in Yeshua. Yes, it's Colossians 4, 17 and 12b. Father, I pray that you, by your Holy Spirit working in each of us, will give us the courage and strength and perseverance to walk the path that we've been called to walk, to go up to our own Jerusalem. And that you will keep your promise as we know you will, Lord. And that when Messiah comes, we will appear with him in glory. That you are transforming us from glory to the very image of Messiah. Till we all come to the fullness and the knowledge of him in our lives. And as the church, as the bride of Messiah. I thank you that this is what you're calling us to do. I thank you that this is your perfect will for each of us. And I thank you that on this day of atonement, you are cleansing us and preparing us to go on with that journey. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.